Hello and welcome to DNF1 with myself, Glenn Martin. I've got Gareth Martin and Derek O'Connor. And we're expecting Paul Higgins at some point. He's having
His new car, that's the problem.
He's having technical difficulties, yes, that the wife picked, obviously. We had the race here at Zandvoort today, 72 laps. We initially thought this whole thing was going to be a bit of a, well, carnage.
We gave it a choice of two things.
Well, it was either going to be a snooze fest or a crash fest. It was always going to be a fest at something. And we didn't get the crash fest, so would you say we got the snooze fest? Is it fair to say that was an uninteresting race? Derek says yes, Gareth.
No, I enjoyed it.
Did you?
Yes. I liked it. I think the track itself is cracking.
The reason Gareth's saying it was a good race is because he had banana loaf and coffee to go with the race. I don't think it was
That's okay. That's fair. That's not a problem.
I still enjoyed the race. The track's cracking. Everybody kept it on the black stuff where it's meant to be, which is surprising. The one track that in God knows how long we've never had comments about track limits.
That's true.
Strangely enough.
I agree with that. I agree totally with
what?
That.
You're agreeing on something?
Still early. There is a big but. There's a big but, and I'm sat on most of it. But listen. It just needs a bit more excitement in there. That's all. A bit of, let's see next year. Let's wait for these new cars and I'll reserve judgment.
That's a fair point. Look, the track itself, I think, was limited by the cars that are driving at the moment. It would have been a lot closer. But once we get to the 2022 cars, we may actually find that the track will actually be better. But we wait and see. I don't think it offers a lot of overtaking opportunities. There were some coming through the field that we're overtaking, Perez, for example, but I think that was more down to the fact that he just has the fastest car on the grid at this particular track, as Max has proven, and he's overtaking cars that are clearly in a different class. That, in turn, has fed to Perez getting driver of the day, which I completely disagree with. I'll ask you all at the end who you think driver of the day is, but I don't think anybody's going to turn around and say Perez, you know? Let's move on to covering off this race. Let's start at the back. We've got Mazepin was a DNF. Tony Sunder was a DNF. Russell effectively became a DNF and therefore finished 18th. They'd retired the car. Then we've got Schumacher, Latifi, Kubica. Gio just went backwards, so that's his job safe, not. And then we get Vettel and Stroll. It kind of finished 2-by-2 for a lot of the actual teams. Vettel and Stroll, Ricciardo and Norris. Norris, I suppose, did a bit of a recovery drive, but still 10th. Not where he really wants to be or we expected him to be. Could anybody explain Norris's poor performance this weekend? We discussed it yesterday. Is maybe just the car setup?
I don't think his car suited this track. I just don't think the setup was good enough for him.
Norris did say that they went kind of the wrong direction in setup in qualifying, and they were hoping to fix that for the race. But he started in 13th and went forward to 10th, picked up a point. But him, I mean, at the end of the day, he finished ahead of Ricciardo, who started in front of him. And again, it's another poor result for Ricciardo. Paul, the performance this whole weekend for McLaren has been not very good. Do you think it's a bit of a hangover for Spa? Or do you think, as Derek said there, it's just doesn't suit this track?
Yeah, I agree with Derek on that one. I think Norris's past performances and things, I think that you'd expect him to do better than that. Ricciardo didn't really do much better. So, I think it was more the car than the track. Didn't suit.
The Ferraris have obviously finished better than them this weekend. They had a chance in Spa to take a lead over the Ferraris in the battle for third, but unfortunately it's swung the other way. Ferrari has now actually moved into the third position in the Constructors' Championship. In front of the two McLarens, we've got Ocon, who complained the whole race that Alonso was keeping he's holding me up. This old guy in this car in front of me is holding me up. And what happens? Alonso finishing sixth. So can you explain that one, Gareth? Why Alonso was the slower driver but finished ahead of Ocon?
Ocon was just spending far too much time complaining. get on and drive the car. I think against Alonso. Alonso's never going to, I think, ease up and just let that guy pass. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Good try.
Should he ever? I was waiting for the radio message, Derek. I was waiting for the Alonso. Ocon is faster than you.
Yeah, but he wasn't, because Alonso was just taking his time. And, you want me to go a bit faster? No problem. Foot down, went faster.
Yeah.
And then he slowed down a bit to save tyres and manage. And then he came up behind him again. He says, you want me to go faster? So he went faster. You know, I mean, he was doing as much as he needed to do to stay in front of him.
Yeah.
But he preserved his tyres.
Ocon.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was making his tyres last longer.
I really dislike it when somebody comes on the radio and says, I'm faster than this car in front. And you're like, well, yeah, overtake him then. If you're that much faster. We've heard that for other teammates in the past, in other estate, Ocon is one in a long line of drivers that think they've got a free pass when it comes to their teammate. Unfortunately, that's not the case. Perez came from the pit lane, was qualified 16th, but started in the pit lane to take obviously a penalty and get that out of the way. Finished in 8th. As you said, driver of the day. Does anybody think he deserves driver of the day?
No.
No? Derek?
No. Well... He did start from the back twice because he flat spotted his tyres very early on.
Yes,
he did. Went to the back again and then came back. So he did start from the back twice, but not driver of the day.
No.
He managed to get up the field, but as you said, he has one of the fastest cars on the circuit. Yeah. So he should be up there. And yes, he should find it easy to pass some of the slower cars. If he's a driver, he can overtake. He should be able to overtake.
Exactly. Paul, with Perez's poor performance yesterday, we thought it maybe would be, and it did cause Max some problems, because during the sort of the run-up to the first set of pit stops, Valtteri Bottas was left at that bit longer to try and slow Max down. Unfortunately, he only held him up for probably about 2 laps. But the difference it would have made if Perez had actually qualified 2nd, 3rd, or 4th on the grid. So, Paul, what do you take from Perez's performance of the day? What he could have done?
Yeah, well, the whole reason is that Red Bull this season was for that reason, was to be up there to help out Max. And it's things like doing what he done yesterday are not going to help the team. So it's not really good enough. Yeah, he done well to come through from where he was up to, was it 9th that he finished in the end?
8th he finished, yeah.
8th overall, not really good enough.
No. The thing is, Gasly's already turned around and says, well, they didn't even ask me about going back to Red Bull. Paul, do you think Gasly will ever go back to Red Bull?
If they asked him, he would jump at the chance to go back to Red Bull, but I don't think they'll ever ask him to go back.
No. I think it'd be a poor career choice. Although Gasly, who we'll come to in a couple of minutes, did perform well today. We spoke about it yesterday and said that for someone that qualifies so well, it'd be behind Daniel Ricciardo in the point standings, is not a great position to be. He's having a great qualifying season, but he's actually having a very poor race finishing season. So it has improved today. We'll come to that. Then we come to what was the two Ferraris were basically tied to each other by a very long piece of rope. Yeah. Because Leclerc and Sainz were together for nearly the entire race, but the gap opened up to nearly half a minute. Sainz behind Leclerc. I mean, 30 seconds. Derek, we'll come to you as the Ferrari hater. Is Sainz 30 seconds slower than Leclerc? I mean, is that really his performance?
No, I think he was just saving the car. I think he decided he'd got a secure enough distance, you know, that he could just take his time, save the engine after his bash the other day. I mean, I actually think, just going quickly back to Perez, because I like to jump back, but I've just got an opinion on that. I think initially, if he hadn't have flat spotted his tyres, he would have been there to hold Hamilton up once Verstappen caught him up and overtook him. He'd overtake him, but then he'd have three flags. Yeah, three blue flags he'd have to think, but he could hold him up for a second each flag and then let him through.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That mistake he made, though, Derek, it's he was trying to overtake a Haas. And I mean, it wasn't even just a wee flat spot. The reason that it was down to the canvas on the tyre, but the reason was because if he didn't, he would have been right in the back of the Haas. It was bad driving for Perez the whole day, and they're like, oh yeah, okay, he's overtaking, but he's overtaking cars that are running 2 and 3 seconds slower than him. I just, driver of the day, who's voting for that? I just digging it. Sainz finished 7th, and Alonso got him at the end, and Leclerc finished 5th. So Sainz only dropped to one place, but it could have been, again, another couple of extra points for Ferrari. But we do come to Gasly. Gasly, Gareth, would you say that's the kind of performance he needs to put in the rest of the season? Do you think, we asked the question there already, do you think he'll ever get back into Red Bull?
I think, as Paul said, he would jump at the chance, but I don't think they're going to put that offer on the table for him.
Paul, do you disagree? Agree with any of that?
I have to agree with it all.
Yeah. So it is a Honda Jizz.
Fuck off.
Oh, the shortcomings of buying a Honda Jizz. That's what it is.
Honda Jizz.
But any more abuse, and I'm quitting on the spot.
How do you put your kids in that? That's just wrong. Right into the car, kids. Yeah, we're getting to the Honda Jazz. Sorry, Paul. It's not my fault. It's not my fault.
To be fair, my 10-year-old daughter is absolutely fucking livid that we've bought it. Like, serious. She wanted to buy the Skoda because it came with an umbrella in the driver's door.
Oh, that's got me interested. What was the Skoda called?
Oh God, they're all called virtually the same thing.
Was it the Octavia?
No, Kamiq, something like that. It's an SUV type piece of shit thing.
Camido. Something like that. Okay. I don't know. The Nissan Junk. I mean, that's the other one. I mean, you were kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. It's a junk in the trunk.
It wasn't an easy choice.
If it's called Jizz, then he pick it. Wait, does the Honda Jizz come with an umbrella in the door in any way, shape, or form?
No, it doesn't.
One in the boot?
Do you know what the big selling point for it was in the end for my wife? Water repellent seats.
It's called Jazz. Well, it's got water repellent seats.
No. This brings us round to a Formula One point.
All right, okay.
Nico Rosberg admitted while he was doing the grid walk today that in his Williams days, he used to piss in the car before he set off because he couldn't be bothered walking to the toilets.
He said it was just a wee pee-pee, though.
It was a wee pee-pee. A wee pee-pee.
But there's a reason that the Jazz comes with water repellent seats, because it's built for people who are over a certain age that piss themselves constantly.
Right, let's get on to the top three, which finished how they started. Max, Hamlin, and Bottas. Bottas gave it a good go to a certain extent. He tried to hold up Max, but it just held him up for a couple of laps. Max was past him. And then come the end, the best bit of the actual race was when they put soft tyres on Bottas, and Bottas goes out going, "You're dancing, here we go, fastest lap." Do-do-do-do-do-do. Sector one, fastest. Do-do-do-do-do. Sector two, fastest. Bottas, this is James. Abort fastest lap. Do-do-do. Sector three, fastest. Get up, he's Merck. And then they had
No. He backed off. He backed off on that last one.
No.
He went yellow sector on that one. He did. He did yellow sector.
He'd already went that fast the first two. It didn't matter. It was just like,
correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Correct. Oh, yeah.
No, unless he'd pulled the handbrake on, there was no way he wasn't getting the fastest. No.
But
you should maybe try every lap at that speed. You might get something.
The thing is, it does add into, because then obviously they were like, right, Lewis, you're going to have to come in. Go for fastest lap, get this extra point. But it adds that amount of drama, because Hamlin could have came in and it could have been a stuck wheel nut again. Anything could have happened and Hamlin might not have got out of the pits. We don't see it very often, but it was a possibility. But Merck, I don't think are going to be happy with Bottas. But
what if Verstappen had spun?
True.
Yeah.
True. But I don't think... It's ifs, what's, buts, maybes, true. But I don't think Max was going to bend that car at any point on this particular race.
Yeah, but there's nothing to say that the car doesn't just implode and blow up, or a wheel falls off or something ridiculous. You never know. I think he is
running Pirellis.
True. It's no faster than the Furious,
exactly,
though.
Exactly.
No, but
sorry, folks. Max has just exploded at turn one. Sorry.
It's a big risk.
Paul, you were trying to make a point before Derek interrupted you. What was it?
Fuck knows.
Fair enough.
Can't remember.
No, I mean, you're right. Max could have broken down or anything, but the chances are, the odds were he wasn't going to, and he maybe wouldn't have binned it off the track. They did see in commentary, because even Jenson Button was like, it's a bit of a risk, just leave them out and stuff, but how much that extra point is worth at the end of the season, we'll wait and see. I mean...
Merck are the ones that seem to be doing this a lot more so, but they're in, you know, sort of first or second, and they'll pull that driver in to go for fastest lap. And as you say, you know, in the last lap, two laps, it's a risky choice to make.
Yeah, everything's kind of hot and has maybe reached the end of its kind of life cycle in some cases.
I can see why they do it, particularly this year when it is so close to the top. Yeah. You know, it's not a massive gap. There's nothing to say this couldn't have come down at a single point at the end of the year.
Well, that's it. It's 20 points or 22 points, 23 points over the space
season. 22 points over the year.
So
yeah.
it is worth doing it, but it is a bit of a risk, especially when it comes to that Bottas has already got the point. Okay, I understand fully Hamilton getting the point, I get that, but it was a bit of a risk. But it was also quite funny that Bottas was just like, I'll do what I want, I'm out of here next season, get up.
Did it, this race today, do you think Bottas is going to be the team player? And Rosberg said, well, after he's been sacked, I don't think he will. Oh, no, I mean, might be being sacked. You know, he had to backpedal so fast. But he did say after he's been sacked, you know, so it must have been sacked because he would be in the know, sort of thing, you know.
I mean, I genuinely think that once the grid was formed for the race, I didn't think much was going to change, especially these front three, unless Hamilton got Max off the line into turn one. And there's no big enough run down there. It would have taken a big screw up by Max for Hamilton to actually get in front. And then the track in turn, really, we did see some overtaking, especially at the start of the race, but it all kind of fell back into follow the leader to a certain extent. And people will say this was a brilliant race. And it wasn't a terrible race to watch. It was entertaining enough. But it's not the kind of classic races that we actually want. We spoke about this while we were watching the races. It's not Max overtakes Lewis, Lewis overtakes Max, and so on over the space of the race. This was just really a case of, okay, they come into the pits, they went out of the pits. Lewis got close at the end because of the different tyre choice. When Max was coming out on hards and Merck had the extra set of mediums for Lewis, he got a wee bit closer. But to catch up with him, it took the life out of the tyres. And again, we come back to this track and these cars doesn't present a good level of racing. It gives us a race, but it doesn't give us overtakes that we really want.
Thing is, we've seen that pretty much all year where we've had that same thing. And I don't know if a lot of it isn't track limitations. I think it's car limitations. And that's the biggest problem. If we've got cars that can run close, then even a track like this could actually produce a good race.
Yeah, because even going around that last bend, the number of times it would then be in at least DRS zone or in the slipstream to actually get an overtake put in there. Can I ask you one at a time, though? This season, by various different commentators, is the best season we've had in so long, right? I personally don't agree with that because the races I still feel have been kind of flat in places. Mm-hmm. We've got two guys that are racing for the championship and it is close. Yep, fine. We've had a bump at Silverstone, doesn't make the season, and the points are close, but it doesn't feel like an exciting season. It just feels kind of seesawy. You know what's going to kind of happen at each of the races, and I kind of disagree with the best season ever. I'll come to you first, Derek. What's your take on the season so far? We're at the midway point, really. We've got 10, what would be 10 races left if all goes to plan.
Right. Well, to be honest with you, no, it's not been the best season ever. We might change our mind at the end of the season, but at this sort of halfway report sort of thing, as we are near enough, just over the halfway point, potential for being the best season ever. We've got two drivers at the front, but...
So if the second half of the season picks up, Derek, would you rate that the first half would be outdone by the second half? Do you think the second half has the potential to make it a classic?
It has, but I'm still waiting for next year.
Yeah. Paul, your take on the season so far, do you agree, disagree that it's been the best season ever? Every race has been a banger and we're expecting too much?
Derek and yourself pretty much summed that up just exactly how I would. It's been more exciting that we have a close race for the championship, but racing wise, it's not been a great season.
Gareth, do you sort of echo the same sentiment?
Pretty much. I think, listen, we've had some good races. I think for me personally, the only thing that's been nice to see is that we don't have two Mercs that come off the line at the start and run off into the distance. We've had somebody challenging for a different team, but it's not a classic season. It's not all been uber exciting. Yeah, we're halfway through the season and actually we're just restarting.
Yeah. I would certainly say that the only race that's excited me was Portimao, when the three protagonists, Max, Hamilton and Bottas, were all in the shot for pretty much the whole race. And it felt that it was one small error away from losing a position. Even today, although Hamilton was tracking Max, it was mainly between sort of like 2.5 to 3 seconds, I think was probably the average. There was the odd time with traffic and stuff, he was getting closer. But I think even if Max made a mistake, he had enough time in his back pocket that he wouldn't have lost or wouldn't have lost the position. The next race that we're actually off to, we're going to Italy next. We're off to Monza and another sprint race. How that is going to pan out, I'm not entirely sure. We've only had one sprint race so far at Silverstone. It was nice to see an extra race over the weekend. But Gareth, what's your take on the sprint race?
I think the last one we said was actually was good to watch. It was something different. It was something exciting. I think it's really just a spectator thing, though. It just fills the weekend out a wee bit more.
Yeah, yeah. Paul, are you a fan of the sprint races, would you say?
I'm not actually 100% sure yet. I can't make my mind up whether it was something different.
Yeah.
Which is always a good thing to try and change things up a bit. But I'm still not sure whether it's something to have all the time or not.
I think actually we've got this in a year too early. Derek, with next year's cars, the 2022, if they decide to trial sprint races more, do you think we'll see a better weekend from it? Maybe if they condense the time into, say, qualifying and the sprint race into the same day? Right, so that's the next race. It's just a week away. It feels like these past 3 weeks, Spa the washout, Zandvoort, a bit of a letdown, I think. If you haven't watched the race, then you get your hopes up.
Still watch it, though. Still watch it.
Gareth, certainly, I wouldn't waste the time. If I had the choice, I wouldn't watch it again. Maybe the 7-minute clips on YouTube for Formula One is probably all the highlights you actually need for it. But Monza, Gareth, do you see Mercedes? Because, I mean, Hamilton ran them close this weekend. Hamilton had less running for the race because of a breakdown. But do you think once we get to Monza, the engine performance, maybe Mercedes can do something with the car? Because at the moment, all I can see is it's going to eke out the rest of the season. Lewis is going to be close at a lot of the races, but no take the victories. And by the time we get to the end of the season, Max will be the world champion. Do you think Merck's got what it takes?
They're certainly not. They've improved the car.
Yep.
But I don't know if it's not delivering anything yet. It's there. It's not a million miles away. It just feels like they're getting close. But is it going to take too long for them to actually get close enough?
Yeah. Yeah.
And by that point, we do get to the point where they crown Max.
Max is the champion. Paul, do you think this is maybe a case of Mercedes, as are a lot of the teams, they are juggling the performance of this year's car and trying to upgrade it, or not even upgrade it, but try and get to a point that it's competitive. But at the same time, they've got a strong focus on the 2022 car. Do you think that's maybe drawn Mercedes' eye away for this battle?
I think so. I think Red Bull have went all out this year. I think they've seen an opportunity. And they've thrown everything at it. And I think, like you say, I think Merck have maybe got one eye on next year, and Red Bull are just trying to capitalise on that this year.
Derek, do you think Red Bull are throwing everything in, including the kitchen sink, at this?
Yes, I think Red Bull have thrown everything. They managed to bribe at the beginning to get the high rate car being to be the standard sort of thing.
And I was wondering how long it would take to get a conspiracy out of Derek.
Wait.
That's why I kept this question for him.
I also think, wait for it, here it comes. Here's the line. I actually think Mercedes are pulling as many points and grabbing as many points as they can because they think it's Red Bull's to lose. It's Red Bulls and Max to lose this year. It definitely is. If they drop the ball at any point, Merck will be in there and grab as many points as they can. They'll take the wins. They'll take seconds because Max has had more DNFs.
I've got to agree with Derek on that one because it was a case of Red Bull were dominant for like 5-6 races, 6 if you include this one, but obviously the two prior ones, and if we forget Spa, but the two prior, Hungary and Silverstone, in what was the two races, Red Bull went from, we've got this cracked, to, we're behind in everything and pointing the blame everywhere else. And to a certain extent, I don't think it was really Red Bull's to lose in those two races. I just think the decisions by the drivers at Silverstone, yep, Max, you've just let Hamilton pass and then came back to it. Old news. Hungary, there was nothing they could do about that. But again, I think the consistency that Mercedes will maybe show throughout the season versus maybe Red Bull, and Perez no firing on all cylinders and these performances, it's a possibility. I mean, I genuinely think we could come down to the last race and both championships will still be alive for both Red Bull and Mercedes.
I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, that's the dream. That's the dream, instead of it being decided by the time we get to the 18th round.
We've had that for so many years, though. Yeah, you weren't even halfway through the season, yeah, and already you knew who was going to win the championship, yeah. So yeah. No.
And there was such a difference between the cars that there was never any chance of them catching up. Yes, that's it. Well, guys, if you want to waste your time and watch the race, it is quite interesting, the first couple of laps. Three wide going into turn three was quite interesting, but again, they all got through, and unfortunately we never got any red flags, we never got any yellow flags. Oh, I tell you, I had one yellow flag incident when Vettel spun. I lost the back end, but that was pretty much it. As a race, watch the highlights, personally. That's it. I think we've covered everything.
Drivers of the day?
We've not covered everything. I want to ask you, driver of the day. Right, quickly, Derek, driver of the day, you're driver of the day. See, if you say Perez, I'm going to come through the screen and slap you.
No, Bottas.
Bottas, okay, right. Any particular reason?
Yeah, no, come
most,
on.
Most disobedient driver of the day.
Well, that's one reason, yeah. Yeah. I like the fact that he went for the fastest.
Yeah, so I think I bruised Glenn's shoulder. Because I'm like, he's going for it. He got it!
Yeah, right. So, yeah, I got that reason. And also, his avoidance tactics when he nearly ran up the arse of Vettel as he was slowly dropping down the banking, and he just managed to get over the top of him without smacking into him. So I'll give him that. That was a very nice drive.
Paul, your driver of the day?
Me, after a test drive in the Honda Jazz. Yes. I don't know. I never seen the fucking race. I'm going to give you an answer to that.
He survived. That's it. You know.
I'm going to leave all of this in and just put it as explicit. That's what I'm going to do.
I would have went for Perez, but you've all fucking said that he didn't deserve it. So I've not seen the race. I can't tell you.
Perez didn't deserve anything.
Right. I'll go for Verstappen because he won.
Good man.
Born. Gareth.
Alonso?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
He showed Ocon. Yeah, that's a good shout, actually. Alonso, a good drive, actually, for Alonso. I think he's starting to show, and I think he'll show Ocon up at the ongoing races the rest of the season. And it's his maturity, but also his wiliness. He's just a good driver and a good car. Yeah, that's it. Right, let's wrap this up.
And yourself?
Oh,
what
me?
What about yourself?
Me?
You have an opinion, don't you?
I will give it to Gasly. I think actually Gasly didn't go backwards. Qualified fourth. He qualified well in a car that shouldn't be anywhere near the front. The two Ferraris behind him, he held them off with the pressure and so on and so forth. I'm going to see Gasly for driver of the day. Nothing else for me to say except it's goodbye for me.
It's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him. Take care, stay safe, have a lovely time. See you at Monza next week. And do not buy a Honda Jizz if you haven't got the... I better not finish that sentence. Take care, everybody. See you next time.
This has been a Beercat production for DNF1.